This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Hello. Welcome to a reformatted show called Disability Awareness. I want to give a shout out to and a thanks to Paul Van Dyke, who started Sounds of Awareness in 1999. This is coming on to his show, which he gave up. And we are starting with this one called Disability Awareness right here at the studio, KBOO. I'm Gracie Reed, and I'm introducing a new show, Disability Awareness. As I said, we'll be investigating and giving information on disability issues with focus on understanding the problem, what needs to change, and appreciation of what has changed. Today's program is supporting a disabled family member, and I have a call-in, I hope. We're working on that. Lawrence Carter from Washington, D.C., head of the National Disability Organization, and we have Mary Ann Stupel Wallace. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hello.
So what's your deal?
I wanted to first of all talk about growing up with my brother, Joe Stupel. He has muscular dystrophy, Duchenne. It's a type of degenerative muscle disease that affects boys only. And usually the life expectancy is between age of 16 and 20. He is now 55 years old. And his disability is basically quadriplegic. He's also on a ventilator to support his breathing. So it is something that progresses. So
I better over to visit Joe. Hi, Joe. Is he listening?
I hope
if
he is.
If he is, hi, Joe. Hi, Joe. How are you doing? I'm glad you're listening and you're here. Your sis is awesome. Okay. Okay, Janice Lara-Stein is coming online. She'll be on shortly from National Disability. And this is just a three-way conversation. We're just going to talk about disability issues and stuff. Well, Mary Ann, I know that you are an ESL teacher for Portland Community Colleges. And you have been a supporter for many years to your brother Joe and to others. Can you talk about... Do you call it a disability?
You know, it's funny. I don't consider it, but it does count. I am hearing impaired. Mm-hmm. I have a pretty significant loss in both ears. I wear hearing aids that mm-hmm. brings me fairly close to normal hearing. I cannot call myself deaf because I don't. I'm too much part of the hearing world, mm-hmm. even though my hearing is greatly impaired. And I was held back a year in school because of it.
Well, you touched bases on your brother Joe, and what was it like when you tell us a little bit about what it was like in the 70s, I think you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. This is my brother is 14 years older than me, to give you an idea. And in 1970, when he was 13 years old, he was ready to go to a junior high in the Kaiser and Salem area, and there was no ramp. And this school did not want to put a ramp in. They were really upset with my family. Mm-hmm. They really created a lot of problems around it. Mm. They also said, oh, well, just send him to Fairview. And mm-hmm. Fairview is a home for people with mental disabilities, mm-hmm. you know, like Down syndrome. So mm-hmm. it was not the right kind of home or school for mm-hmm. Joe. Nothing wrong with his mind.
But that was the solution in the 70s. Okay, we have a caller. We have a rep from National Disability in Washington, D.C. Hello.
Good afternoon. This is Janice Lara-Stein, the Vice Chair of the National Council on Disability.
Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you so much.
Portland, Oregon. Cool. Good talking to you. So what's the situation going? You heard a little bit of the tail end of Marianne's story back in the 70s when there were no disability ramps. In fact, they were not going to put them in. They had a real attitude problem. So what is the latest maybe challenge there on the Washington, D.C. level?
Well, you know, the news from Washington, D.C. is both good and bad. Mm-hmm. Good in that the Americans with Disabilities Act has now been in place for 23 years.
Yay.
And so an entire generation of Americans has grown up with the benefits of the supports and services that have been provided by the ADA. Nonetheless, on this topic of parents with disabilities, discrimination persists, and that is unfortunate because, as we all know, parents with disabilities are simply that, parents with the same innate ability to cherish their children and to help raise them to become independent, productive, and responsible members of the American community.
Yes. Yeah, and these are parents that are disabled, and do you work with parents that are disabled that have children or parents... and or parents with disabled children? Is it that way, that range? Or
Actually, it's both. The National Council on Disability is an independent federal agency mm-hmm. that advises the president, Congress, or federal and state partners uh-huh. on disability issues overall. So we have a very broad mandate, but with a very small structure. We are 15 presidentially appointed council members who are geographically diverse and diverse mm-hmm. by disability and also by experience, supported by a very hardworking staff of 12.
Yes.
So we address disability policy issues all across the nation.
Oh, boy.
We absolutely deal with parents with disabilities and mm-hmm. children with mm-hmm. disabilities, mm-hmm. and I am myself a parent mm-hmm. of three mm-hmm. and a woman with a disability.
Mm-hmm. I, too, I'm 70 and I have multiple sclerosis, so we're all in this little pool together. And here in Portland, Oregon, and I know Marianne can attest to this, we still have issues with handicapped doors missing and all the huge organizations like McDonald's, and oh, maybe I shouldn't mention organizations, but I have been on them for many, many years. Why don't you have a handicapped door? Why don't you have a handicapped door? New buildings, no handicapped doors. So it's still a big issue, isn't it?
I think that issues of access and integration are issues that are in process of being dealt with, and that there is much work that has been done and much that remains to be done. And we can be grateful to the work that has occurred under the Americans with Disabilities Act at the same time as we look forward to much more work that we can do as a community of Americans with disabilities and hand-in-hand with our government, our nonprofit, and our private sector partners mm-hmm. to make sure mm-hmm. that Americans with disabilities are full participants in society in absolutely every aspect.
Yeah, and as you heard, and Marianne, a little bit more about your brother. As she was saying, 1970, they put up a fuss, and it was for years, didn't you? You really had a problem.
Yes. I mean, they did put the ramp in the end, and he did go to that junior high. But that particular school was very angry and did not treat my family too well for quite a few years afterwards.
Just to put a ramp up, yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the way you put it about this, because this show is actually about what it was like, what the issues are right now that we can be doing. So what are some of the key issues that disabled people in this Portland area can be working on, according to your research there in Washington, D.C.? And say hello to Obama, by the way, for us. Anyway.
Thank you. It is lovely to be out in Washington, D.C. I'm actually resident, and my hometown is San Francisco, California.
Oh, cool.
So I'm not all that far away from you usually, but right now.
You're not. Cool.
Right
Thank
now
you.
I'm sitting in Washington, D.C. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, this is pretty much a good news and hard work yet to be done kind of mm-hmm. answer mm-hmm. in that the issues that are affecting Americans across the country also, of course, are affecting Americans with disabilities. And the improvements that we can make as Americans with disabilities will make a significant contribution to improvement in the health of the economy and the American culture overall. So we are deeply engaged in looking at the big issues of the day: budget, Social Security, reauthorization for education for all Americans, but particularly for Americans with disabilities. And past that, we are delighted that we have released a number of reports recently, mm-hmm. of which, of course, my favorite is Rocking the Cradle, that deals with issues regarding parents and disability.
Give us a link where the listeners here can link into, so they can access your information and what you're up to there.
Absolutely. You can see all of the NCD reports and also keep current and listen in and participate in public comment sessions for our council meetings, which occur quarterly, by going to the National Council on Disability at ncd.gov. We have all of our reports accessible and up on the web, and you can download and read or listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we also conduct our quarterly meetings over a telephone line so that individuals who are not in Washington, D.C. can listen, and we make available a public comment period at each of our quarterly meetings.
Oh, that's wonderful, because that gives it some more personal touch that way.
Well, let me add even one more personal touch and invite you, if you would like to make public comments, to send your comments to Lawrence Carter Long.
Yes.
LCARTER-LONG at ncd.gov.
I have talked to Lawrence. That was the first person who I talked to, and he couldn't be on today, but he said he would assure that we had somebody on. And so, yeah, it's wonderful what you all are doing. Such a small staff and a lot of work ahead, but, you know. So we'll just stay in touch with this council and this governmental activity, and any other, you can stay on for the entire show if you'd like. We have about 20 more minutes. If you wanted to stay on and comment, or if you want to go off, let us know. And
well, thank you. I'd be delighted to stay on. And if you have any more questions or anyone wants to ask questions of me, I'd be very happy to answer them.
I don't know if we have call-ins, but Marianne. Back to you, darling. Marianne's a good friend.
Oh.
she's a young'un, so she's old enough to be my young daughter.
Well,
she comes and fetches me. She has a car, and we go places, and she lugs my walker in and out of her car. It's so amazing.
Good for you, Marianne.
Yeah, she's cool. So more about this struggle with her brother Joe, and then, of course, with his disease, he wasn't supposed to live till 55, so we're talking a miracle here.
Yeah, we are. As I said, so I guess I've revealed my age. I'm 41. I don't mind sharing that detail, but we have a 14-year difference. I think for me, it's without even thinking. I just help people. I don't even notice. I mean, I do notice, but I guess it's I guess what I'm saying is that I just treat them like human beings. And I guess that's what I think is one of the things I've noticed that has changed over the decades. And that's a positive I want to bring up with that my brother Joe talked about. He noticed over the years how attitudes towards people with all kinds of disabilities, whether it's physical or less visible disabilities, he's noticed that there's better treatment because people are more aware, people are more informed and educated. So he is noticing, yes, it's gotten better. People do treat him better. He's noticed that over the years. So things have come a long way from that time in 1970 when there wasn't a lot of support.
Yeah, and again, what it was like, and then another perspective on this too is we're talking about this country, and you know, when you think about it, we are a new country compared to a lot of other countries. And I think you and Joe were talking the other day, Marianne, and it was about how disability issues are non-existent in many countries yet.
Yeah, that is a cultural difference. It just depends, and I think it's changing. I mean, being an ESL teacher, I talk to students from all over the world, from, you know, Mexico, Iran, Vietnam, many different countries, Somalia, you name it. I've teach students from all around the globe. And they tell me things are changing. But, yeah, there are some cultures where they still have this attitude of, well, if you're disabled, stay home.
Stay home.
You know. Mm-hmm. But it's changing.
Yes.
Don't you think, Marianne, that we are both very fortunate and that America has had in place this legislation which has enabled individuals with disabilities to really participate so that others who are perhaps not affected by disability become accustomed to the potential and the capability of Americans and also to be at this place and time where we're heading into the second quarter of a century with the law in place so that we can look at the individuals who have grown up with mm-hmm. the Act and with these expectations and really take the benefits from them as people get their education and move out into the workplace and then raise their families, even though they may be parents with disabilities.
Yes, yeah, I definitely think that there's definitely been a change in attitude and people being aware of how much a person can contribute, you know, because I think there used to be this attitude that maybe they can't. So definitely, I would say so. You know, with my brother's story, he ended up graduating from high school in 1976. He's a very modest, humble person. He got a standing ovation at his graduation. So I think that's, he said he noticed that was kind of a start of a change that he was seeing in general. I mean, his family always treated him well. We always helped him with whatever he needed because he needed a lot of help with activities of daily living because of his disability. So, but he has noticed, to get back to your question about the change and how we're fortunate, yeah, he definitely feels that way now. I mean, he's somebody that he was not able to work, but he contributes in so many other ways. And I'm going to put a plug in for a book that he's been working on about his life, about growing up with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which I hope to have it ready by the end of this year. So it's a book, an autobiography by Joseph Stupfel called Never Say Die.
When's it coming out?
I hope that by the end of 2013. Cool. Or the beginning of the next year.
Very good. Fantastic. Well, and so I heard this was just over a radio show or something. I can't remember, but you might be aware of it in there in San Francisco, in Washington, D.C., in your case. There is something on the books or the about including disabled people in the sports arena. What is that? Have you heard anything about that?
Yes. There was a recent publication, I believe it came out of the administration, that addresses issues of inclusivity for students in extracurricular sports and sports teams. Mm-hmm. And that arose as a result of the inspirational appearance and success of individuals with disabilities in the regular Olympic pool during the last Summer Olympics.
Were you guys part of that, or?
Not specifically, no. The National Council on Disability is a policymaking body that makes recommendations for legislation and policies, procedures, and practices. But, you know, as a mother of three children who have participated in sports and as a person with a disability who practices yoga and participates in sports on a daily basis, I am of the firm opinion that individuals have potential to really fulfill all kinds of roles and participate fully in society, and that would include after-school activities, sports, and intramural teams for all kinds of sports activities.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an exciting, I think it's just been proposed, or is it in process? How far are we from that being implemented into the, you know, the society and school systems and whatnot?
I think that this is a proposal. There are certainly schools throughout the country that have made a point of including individuals with disabilities into their regular sports team. There also, of course, is the Special Olympics, which holds a different and very unique place in the culture of the world in terms of allowing people to achieve their full potential and participate in sports activities. But I think we are just at the beginning of the process in terms of regular after-school activities, and this is an area in which there is going to be a lot of discussion, deliberation, and hopefully a really progressive outcome for students all across the country.
We're on the verge of, in other words, a couple of years from now, this is all going to look very different. I mean, as early as a couple of years from now, I get this feeling, because there's so much just coming out of the woodwork now. We're on the verge of just a whole new deal on lots of issues with prejudice issues, with acceptance issues, with inclusivity, as you say. I can't say it. I'm sorry. You say it. It's, you know what, I'm an evening person, so I'm here in the morning going, one cup of coffee. Oh, anyway. Uh-oh. No, it's so, and I know with a person with MS, I'll just speak a bit, I don't like to talk so much about myself, but I have had MS since I was in my, late 20s, and I have the slow kind that just takes you down a little by little, little by little, little by little, thank goodness. But I have managed to come to 70, and I graduated from a cane to the arm walkers to a walker, and now I'm in a scooter, between walker scooter, and so I'm kind of running. I mean, that's, you know, running, quotes, running ahead of what is maybe the inevitable. But I know there's a lot of, prejudice. I will say prejudice issues around 70-year-old people that are in walkers and that are in with walkers and in scooters. It's just amazing how invisible I became when I hit the walker and the scooter as opposed to the canes. And I work a lot on those issues just by speaking up and saying, hello, I'm here.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So,
well, fortunately, it sounds like you still have a great deal of mobility, so I certainly congratulate you for that.
Yeah, I do.
And mobility issues as well as sensory disabilities, psychiatric and emotional disabilities, those are all issues that the National Council on Disability is privileged to look at and work on. And if you go to the website at ncd.gov, you will see that many of our recent reports function really across the breadth and depth of disability mm-hmm. issues mm-hmm. in the nation, mm-hmm. ranging from veterans issues to transportation, access, and mobility, the entire range.
Well, we're very fortunate on many levels to be in Portland. Portland's kind of an innocent city for the size it is, and it's very nonprofit, very open for, you know, CABO itself is a nonprofit a community radio station, for instance. And we're very fortunate to be in Portland on many levels because there's so many involved people that care mm-hmm. about these things. So, and yet we got a little ways to go, of course, but I definitely will implant this in your site and whatnot for Elders in Action and all these folks and for schools, you know, all the places I work and stuff. And I want to tell you, I don't think I'd be walking today without magnetic therapy. I went to Europe in the early 90s, and I worked and lived over there for many years. And actually, I was getting, my walking abilities were getting pretty involved. I actually stopped walking, went blind for a little while, and snapped back, which is just amazing. But I went into magnetic therapy in Europe, and I really know that that helped a lot. Now, we don't have, the doctors here do not, they don't want to honor magnetic therapy and alternative medicine. So we're fighting on that. Well, I don't know about fighting, but we're informing and educating on that level too. So I'm seeing a new doctor Wednesday, and I'll give him your site. <It's> here. Here's where you can access, and especially if you want to implement policy and procedure. Mm. We need, you know, it's part of the, so again, it's, we know what the problem is. We know what needs to be done. The things that need to be done are coming up. And it's all of us as a unit coming together and doing everything we can. So I'm really appreciating your effort in this this arena of disability.
So. Well, thank you very much. And may I repay that compliment to you, because it really is about the community of Americans with disabilities and mm-hmm. our standing together, almost 56 million of us, and saying that we have potential, we can be fully participatory in this society, and that in this day and age, there is nothing that should prevent us from doing so.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you so much for coming on and being a part of our KBOO show, and say hello to Lawrence for us.
Certainly will. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, and I thank you, and good luck with everything, and we'll stay in touch.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, hon. And so, Mary Ann, closing thoughts and remarks. And
you know, one thing I was thinking about when you were talking about magnetic therapy and, you know, healthcare and healthcare needs of people with disabilities, I wanted to say on a positive note, I think this is, I shouldn't say I think, I know this is why Joe is alive, because of amazing technology. He's on a ventilator. And he is. That's mm-hmm. how he's allowed to breathe. Because basically, it was not that he wasn't able to get the oxygen. It was the muscles to push the air in and out mm-hmm. were not working. Mm-hmm. And through this machine, this ventilator, he mm-hmm. is able to breathe. He's able to talk and mm-hmm. Still able to communicate and have his voice. So
yeah, he's one amazing dude. Hi, Joe. If you're listening, hi, Joe. Anyway.
But I just wanted to just say that I just think it's wonderful that there's a lot. So not only is there changing in attitudes, but there's also a lot of advances in different kinds of medicine, alternative medicine, that's really helping people live with their disabilities as comfortably as possible.
Yeah. And what about housing for especially disabled as Joe? I think there was some issues around that, if I recall.
Well, we know one thing. He is in a care home, and it's actually mostly elderly people, and mostly he's on a floor with mostly people with dementia, mm-hmm. but it's the only floor that has the strong wall suction kit to keep his lungs clear, and so he's able to breathe. One thing I kind of wish is I wish that there not very many people with muscular dystrophy survived this late, but there are some. Sometimes I wish there was I know this is an issue with money, but I wish it was there was a smaller home full mm-hmm. of other people mm-hmm. like Joe who have the physical disabilities and just that's what they need, and not being around people who are out of it. And this is not out of disrespect at all mm-hmm. with people mm-hmm. with dementia. Mm-hmm. It's just that mm-hmm. it's not really the right mm-hmm. fit for him, but it is the only place, and it is why he's alive and he's getting good care there. I don't mm-hmm. want to say that it's bad care, but if we had a wish, I guess I wish he could be at a home where he was with people closer to his age and maybe people he could actually talk with and have a conversation with. I mean, it would be nice, but
I think he's also, hasn't he spoken to the amazing scientist who is disabled? And
the amazing scientist. I don't know who you mean. I'm sorry.
Oh, anyway.
Are you talking about? Stephen Hawking. Yes, he actually talked to Stephen Hawking. about
it was really cool when I heard that.
Yeah, he actually did talk to Stephen Hawking because one of the things that Joe's able to do really quickly, he has a computer that he can use. He wears glasses, and there's this little eyepiece that follows his eye motion that works as a computer mouse. And he talked to Stephen Hawking about this.
About that. So it's really cool. So yeah, he's involved in his own situation. So I just want to... I want to thank you for listening to Disability Awareness. And we will be on, we're on the fourth Monday of every month. And thanks so much for listening. And if you have any questions or any concerns, certainly you can connect with KBOO. You can go to my website as well, www.negotiatingshadows.com. I also wrote a book about my disability. Joe's book's coming out. And then don't forget, if you really want to be in touch with these lovely National Council of Disability, ncd.gov. And thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate that. And thanks, Mary Ann, also for coming on and talking.
This KBOO program was made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Alma Midwifery, offering prenatal care, home and birth center birth, and mother-baby care for the first 6 weeks postpartum. Alma Midwifery provides relationship-based care with certified nurse and professional midwives, as well as childbirth education, yoga, and parenting classes. Located in the heart of Portland at Southeast 16th and Ankeny, or almamidwifery.com.
Tune in Wednesday, February 6th at 6 p.m. for Treasures from the KBOO Vault. We are celebrating our 45th anniversary by looking at our past and sharing precious recordings with you. This month, we'll listen to an interview with Art Dilworth, recorded in 1977 by KBOO's own George Page. We'll also hear a speech recorded in 1992 by Dick Gregory. Again, that's February the 6th at 6 p.m. here at KBOO Portland, your community radio station for 45 years.
Hi, welcome to Food Sleuth Radio, where we help you think beyond your plate. I'm Melinda Hemmelgarn, a registered dietitian and investigative nutritionist on a mission to connect the dots between food, health, and agriculture, and find food truth. And today I'm delighted to bring Kathy Cater. She is a licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist to our listeners. She has a great new book called Healthy Bodies, Teaching Kids What They Need to Know. And prior to this book, she also authored Real Kids Come in All Sizes, 10 Essential Lessons to Build Your Child's Body Esteem. Welcome, Kathy.
Oh, hello, Melinda. Glad to be with you.
Well, this is such an important issue, especially around this, it seems to be a year-long event now, is focusing on our weight and dieting. And dietitians really try to navigate people away from diets and towards eating well. But I think it's particularly difficult for children in our society who are coming of age, trying to figure out who they are, so desperate for being included and so sensitive to what others think of them. So I love your book. It offers great tips for parents and teachers and kids. I want to know why you wrote it.
Well, actually, you know, this edition that we're talking about today is a third edition, so I have to go